Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven. No, you will be brought down to Hades." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
You know, our scriptures are filled with these little linguistic cues. And our scripture reading today starts off with one of those little linguistic cues. It starts off, do you remember how it started off? After this. That's a cue to find out what this was. Because what you're about to read is built on what came just before it. So I'm going to take just a minute to put this reading that we heard in some context. Because if you go back to the previous chapter in Luke, in chapter 9, actually it nearly starts off the same way. With Jesus sending his disciples out with no purse and no shoes. And he gives them the same instructions. But he's only sending out the 12. He's sending the 12 disciples out into the countryside, into the neighboring towns and the communities to do exactly the things that they have been witnessing him do. Exorcising demons, healing the sick, forgiving sins, preaching repentance, telling people that the kingdom of God is here. And so the 12 go out. And they go out and there's all this confusion about what's going on. And everybody's saying, "Well, who is this Jesus anyway? Sounds a whole lot like Elijah to me. Sounds like Moses to me. I think it's John the Baptist." There's this confusion because what they're preaching and teaching is not that radically new. Because his whole idea of healing people and bringing peace to people is an old, old prophetic tradition. All of the prophets of the Old Testament were doing the same things. John the Baptist preached repentance, which is changing your ways. So there was this confusion about, well, exactly who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And they come back and they say, "Well, you know, things went pretty good, but there was some confusion about who you are." And Jesus tries to get this straightened out as he usually does, through example. In that ninth chapter of Luke, we have that famous story about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus models this radical hospitality to people. Even while his disciples are saying, send them all home. Tell them to go into town and get something to eat. Tell them to take care of themselves. Jesus says, no. You bring me what you have and we'll take care of them. He also calls them to follow him, to pick up their cross and follow him. There's a call to even more radical discipleship in this ninth chapter of Luke. And then comes the transfiguration, this weird story of Jesus up on a mountain and Moses and Elijah showing up, and they all light up. But basically what this story is doing, this story is showing us that Jesus continues to be part of this prophetic tradition. That he is continuing the prophetic tradition of Moses and Elijah and the rest. And then this ninth chapter of Luke ends with some rather strange things. Failure. Failure. Jesus goes to different people and he calls them to discipleship. And it's another famous passage that we're all familiar with, but I don't think it registers to us that this is Jesus out experiencing rejection and failure from the people. People who want to follow him, but are not quite ready to go all the way. One person says, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You can go with me, but it's not going to be all comfy. Another one says, he says, follow me. And the person says, well, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And he says, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another one says, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Let me go say bye to my family. And he says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling these people, I'm serious about this. This is not business as usual. Following me. And that brings us to after this. So this is what has come before. And this time, Jesus sends out a whole new group of people. Same instructions, but now there are 70 of them. They are blanketing the countryside, the villages around the Sea of Galilee, preaching the gospel. Preaching that the kingdom is here. Preaching a gospel of repentance. Changing your ways. They are exorcising demons. They're healing people. They're doing all the things that Jesus has been doing. They are experiencing failure as well. Just like Jesus did, because what they're discovering is some people are accepting them and some people aren't. And Jesus says, the people who accept you, the people who are receptive to the gospel, you stay with them and you teach them and you serve them because they are hungry to hear. They are hungry to be fed. And there will be people who won't listen to you. And basically what he says is, don't waste much time there. Sounds rather harsh, doesn't it? But Jesus always treats everybody equally and gives everybody the opportunity to respond, to follow, to repent, and change our ways. He uses some pretty interesting language here that, if you're not really familiar with the geography of the area and some of the history of the area, it doesn't make a lot of sense to you. He talks about these three cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, and two other cities, Tyre and Sidon. But first, he references Sodom. We're all familiar with Sodom, aren't we? That wicked place, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says that some of these communities will be just like Sodom. They will be abandoned by God. But I think it would do us good to understand exactly why God abandoned Sodom. I want to read you a piece of scripture here from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel says in the 16th chapter of that book, "This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." My friends, that was the sin of Sodom. We get all hung up on sexuality so much that Sodom has become a symbol of sexual immorality. When in actuality, God destroys that city because they were inhospitable to people in need. Let me say that again. He destroys Sodom not because of sexual immorality, but because they were inhospitable. Ezekiel tells us clearly, she and her daughters had pride, they had excess of food, they were prosperous with ease, and they did not aid the poor and the needy. Go back and read the 18th and 19th chapters of Genesis, and this whole story of this destruction of Sodom, and you will see this inhospitality at work. Messengers from God come, and they are rejected. And so this is what Jesus is comparing these other towns to. He's comparing them to Sodom, because these towns have been inhospitable to the disciples. These towns, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, these are Jewish towns where the disciples are going in and they are being rejected there. They're still performing miracles. They're doing the deeds of the gospel, but they are being rejected. And Jesus says, "Woe unto them." But then he says, if the same deeds had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago. And guess where Tyre and Sidon are? Way north, in Samaria, Gentile cities, outsiders, the people that are being rejected. Jesus says, if we had done those deeds among these people, they would have repented a long time ago. But no, not you. My friends, this is a message to the church today. We are prideful. We have excess of material good, food, provision, housing, clothing. The church is one of the most wealthy institutions in the world. And when I say the church, I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about Methodists and Baptists and Episcopalians and Catholics. And this is church with a big C. And we are neglecting those in need around the world in ways that are unimaginable. Yeah, we send our checks. We do our good deeds here and there. But on the whole, the institution of the church has blinders on to what's going on in the world today. And Jesus is calling us out here in this story of these cities around. And he ends this by saying, whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. When we neglect the needs of the world, when we neglect the needs of our community, when we reject people simply because of who they are, we have rejected fellow human beings. We have rejected Christ. We have rejected God. Your bulletin has an insert in it. Our congregation, our session, has just decided to become a Matthew 25 congregation. This is a movement within the Presbyterian Church USA based on Matthew 25. Anybody familiar with Matthew 25? It's basically the story of the sheep and the goats. And the sheep and the goats say, well, Master, when did we see you and you fed us? When did we see you and you clothed us? When did we see you? And the key phrase in that Matthew 25 story is, when you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. Now, I want to commend our congregation. Because when we looked at this Matthew 25 church, we realized that we were already doing a whole lot of this stuff. We didn't have to say, oh, well, we need to do this in order to qualify. We are doing so much that qualifies us as a Matthew 25 church, but we don't want to be like Bethsaida and Capernaum and Chorus and hurt our shoulders by patting ourselves on the back too much. We are doing a lot of this, but the call is toward radical hospitality. The call is toward radical inclusion and radical service in our community as well as in the world. And so as we move forward as a congregation, as we strive to be more and more the presence of Christ in the world, and to realize that each and every person we encounter is also the presence of Christ. As we strive to do this, may we always be reminded that we are doing it to Christ, to the presence of God. And remember the words of Jesus, just as you do it unto me, whoever listens to you listens to me, whoever rejects you rejects me, whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. This is our call. Radical hospitality. And as we come to the table, around tables this morning, let us keep this in mind, that the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the communion that we celebrate, is not a private thing. It includes everybody. It includes the whole world. And what you are going to have the opportunity to do today is serve one another at your table. As we enter the communion liturgy, it will sound very familiar to you until it gets to the part where you're actually serving. And you will serve one another a round table. Some of you are sitting in pews on the sides. I encourage you to find an empty chair, sit at a table with a group. If there are some of you who cannot do that, I encourage those of you who are at the table to make sure people sitting around you are included. Because that's what this is about. Radical hospitality. Radical communion. Serving one another is the same as serving Christ. Amen. And that work of ministry is radical hospitality. We are called by Jesus to reach out to everyone, to accept everyone as the presence of Christ in our lives. We conclude a week of celebration in our country around the 4th of July, the day when we celebrate freedom in our country. But we are free not only in our country, but we are free in the gospel to proclaim freedom and liberty and justice to all people in the world. Just as Jesus says, all are welcome. Bring the little children to me. Come, you who are heavy labored, and I will give you rest. There was a giant statue over Rhodes in ancient Greece, and it stood over the harbor, and this giant statue proclaimed the might of the empire as ships went underneath and through its legs. It was called the Colossus of Rhodes. That giant statue, mythology tells us, eventually fell and crumbled and lay in pieces on the ground, just as the Greek Empire was in pieces on the ground. I want to share with you a poem entitled The New Colossus, written by an immigrant to this country named Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beaconed hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, she cries with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. My friends, this is a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Radical hospitality. Amen.